Hello, this is Lynn, and I'll be reading today from the Taunton Daily Gazette for Monday, August 24th, 2026. And the first notice is Overdose Awareness Gathering Planned at Duval Park by Beth McDermott. Community members affected by overdose and substance use are invited to gather at Duval Park in Taunton for an awareness event focused on support, remembrance, and local resources. The Taunton Opiate and Substance Use Task Force will host International Overdose Awareness Day from 4 to 7 p.m. August 26th at Duval Park, 100 Oak Street, according to a community announcement. The event is tied to the 25th anniversary theme, 25 Years On, Still Needed. Attendees can access community resources and recovery support while taking part in activities planned throughout the afternoon. The announcement says food and games will be available during the event. Organizers also plan to connect participants with local organizations and support services related to substance use, recovery, and overdose awareness. The gathering is intended to bring together people whose lives have been affected by overdose, including family members, friends, and others seeking information or support, according to the announcement. Organizers say the event will feature recovery support services and information from community resource providers. In addition to educational opportunities, attendees can meet with organizations working in prevention, recovery, and related support efforts. Food, games, and other activities are also planned. And next, third Bristol District Democratic candidate profiles. Ed Walsh on upbringing, getting stabbed, and state house frustration by Emma Rindlisbacher. Taunton Police Chief Ed Walsh, who is running for state representative, says his years of experience in the military and the police department give him perspective on what leadership means. I wasn't looking to be the leader in those positions, but I ended up being that leader, he said. I spent 27 years of my life in the U.S. military. I learned to do a lot of things there and been to a lot of places that I probably don't want to even think about right now. But that's leadership. You can't run from what you have to do. You can't be afraid of what you have to do. You do what you have to do. Walsh is running in the September 1st Democratic primary against incumbent state rep Lisa Field in the 3rd Bristol District, which includes part of Taunton and part of Easton. Walsh told the Gazette about his life and career, including about an incident during his childhood when his father was attacked and about an incident when he was stabbed while working as police chief. Here's what he said. Why Walsh became a police officer. One of the reasons why Walsh became a police officer, he told the Gazette, is because of an incident during his childhood when his father was attacked in 1975. We were living in an 8-family tenement in Taunton. I had just come back from karate and my father was called upstairs because we had one of the only phones in the house to help a woman with her son who had allegedly been stabbed, Walsh said. My father walked in the door, gets in the door, is attacked with chains and chairs by a bunch of hooligans or local mobsters for whatever reason, he said. They basically knocked out all of his teeth and broke all of his ribs at 65 years of age. My mother immediately moved us out of the house. Walsh said that he didn't know the reason why his father was stabbed and probably never will know the reason because everyone involved has died. I think one of the reasons I became a police officer is because of issues like that and the violence. I saw a lot of violence as a child, he said, adding that he wanted to prevent situations like that in the future for other people. Career in the police department. Walsh began working for the Taunton Police Department in 1988 and became chief in 2010. Policing is 99% boredom, punctuated by about 1% pure terror, he said of the profession. We see people on the worst days of their lives. I tell people during the orientation, if you want people to like you, become a fireman. Walsh said that Taunton has seen a lot of interesting cases, and in one instance, in 2023, Walsh himself was stabbed. I was actually home eating supper when I got the call that one of my officers had been stabbed, Walsh said of the 2023 incident. I got in my car and went there immediately. The side door of the house opened and the suspect was at the door, Walsh said. So I went up to the door. He had locked the door. I kicked the door in and went in and tried to locate him in the apartment and were trying to take him into custody when I got stabbed. Walsh said that when he was stabbed, his reaction was a little disbelief. He said he tased the suspect and that the suspect was brought into custody. It was within seconds, he said. I felt something. I didn't realize it had happened. If you've ever been stabbed or anything like that, you sometimes don't even realize it's happened. And at that point, after we got him into custody, I had a chance to look at it and realized I'd been stabbed. I looked down. I felt it. I saw it. I saw the blood, Walsh recalled. Changes to policing. As police chief, Walsh has witnessed a lot of changes to his profession, and he said that technology would transform how police departments operate in the coming years. I've been on the forefront of the drones. I actually flew my first drone probably 18 years ago, he said. Drones will be part of policing in the future. I foresee it within 5 to 7 years that a 911 call will come in, probably be answered by AI, not a human being, he said. He predicted that in the future, after a 911 call is received, a drone will be automatically launched to investigate the scene in question. I think the drone will probably use some version of AI to relay verbally to the responding officers what it sees, he said. Drones are already being used at the Taunton Police Department, he said, primarily for search and rescue. The current police station, the new one, which recently opened this year, has a drone launch platform. We're not using it yet, but we will in time. Why Walsh is running for state rep. Walsh was registered as an independent, but changed his registration to Democrat in 2026, and he is primarying incumbent Taunton State Rep Lisa Field, with whom he had a public battle over whether his retirement age should be extended from 65 to 70. I've probably been a Democrat most of my life, Walsh said. Like a lot of people in Massachusetts, I usually register as an independent. It gives you more flexibility in voting. He said that he changed his registration to run in the Democratic primary election for the 3rd Bristol State Rep position. The way we're set up as a society, especially here in Massachusetts, you really only have two options, either a Democrat or a Republican, if you want to run as a candidate. Asked if his decision to run was related to Field not actively supporting extending Walsh's retirement age, Walsh said, I think that might probably play a part of it. I mean, it was actually a long conversation with my wife. My wife and I had discussions in the past about different issues in the community, different issues with the State House, and my frustration with a lot of the stuff that we're dealing with, Walsh said. The decisions they, the state legislature, make are sometimes well-intentioned decisions, but they have unintended consequences. One example of Walsh's frustration with the state legislature is laws regarding juvenile justice, he said. He called efforts to raise the age at which a juvenile can be charged as an adult from 18 kind of crazy. They're talking about going to 19, he said. The Senate version of economic development legislation, which passed in July, includes provisions to raise the age to 19, but the House version of the legislation does not, and it is unclear if the final version of the legislation has those provisions. If elected, Walsh said that he would seek out similar-minded people in the State House and build a coalition. When asked if he would be afraid to call out State House leadership, such as House Speaker Ron Mariano, he said, "Do I look like I have much fear of anything? I'm not going to be afraid to call out the Speaker. I'll go tit for tat with basically anyone. If I believe something strongly enough, I'm going to fight for what I believe in," he said. And what Lisa Field says about overcoming obstacles, being state rep, by Emma Rindlisbacher. Taunton State Rep Lisa Field cites her Catholic faith and her close-knit family as important sources of strength and resiliency in her life. I've been able to get through because of my faith and my family, Field said, describing challenging life events such as the loss of a home and the loss of a family member. Field, who is running for re-election in the 3rd Bristol District, faces a challenge in the September 1st Democratic primary from Taunton Police Chief Ed Walsh. She was first elected as state rep in 2025. It's been exciting. It's been a bit of a learning curve, Field said, of her first year as a legislator. I have to look at the many different sides of an issue, and there are not any easy answers. Here's what she says about her life, career, and time as a state rep. Growing up in Raynham, attending Coyle and Cassidy. Field, who grew up in Raynham, attended Coyle and Cassidy in Taunton, a Catholic high school that closed in 2020 after generations. I loved Coyle and Cassidy. I met a lot of people from Taunton through Coyle, including my now ex-husband, Field said. Field was the oldest of 4 siblings, 3 girls and 1 boy, she said, and she has 2 children, a son who lives in Taunton in the Ware neighborhood and a daughter who also lives in Massachusetts. Field previously told the Gazette that her grandparents were also terrific role models and a big influence in her life, including her grandfather, who was a labor leader, the steward for the steelworkers out of Boston, and would take her to office hours for his union when he was a child. If something happened in the community, they were the first ones right there trying to help people out, Field said of her grandparents, who were married for more than 60 years. We call them in our family the ultimate love story. Field moved to Taunton almost a decade ago during a challenging time in her life. In 2017, her landlord filed a court case to evict her and her then-husband from their residence in Middleborough. It was a tough time, Field said, and then I subsequently divorced. In some ways, I came home. I came home to be close to my family, she said. My parents still live in Raynham in the same house. My sister was living in Taunton. My son lives in Taunton. She has made her personal experience with financial obstacles a centerpiece of both her campaigns for state rep. I know what families in Taunton and Easton are going through because I've lived it. Family and friends struggling with substance use and the crushing weight of rising costs of living, even losing my home, Field said when she first announced she was running for office in 2025. Field's family has recently had to deal with the sudden loss of her sister, Maura Whittemore, who was killed in a car crash in Raynham in July. She was my best friend, Field said of her sister. My parents still live in the same house in Raynham, and my parents are aging in place, and my sister was my right arm. It's shocking when anyone passes away that you love, she said. It was unexpected. It was clearly upsetting. There's all of the things that have to happen when someone passes away. You grieve, and then you also have to make the arrangements. And we're still sorting through some of the aftermath of that. Field took time away from campaigning for re-election after her sister's death, but she said she still showed up for her work as a state representative at the State House. I continued in my role as a state representative, continuing to go to meetings, continuing to show up to session, she said. From working for Mass Nurses Association to state rep. Before being elected in 2025, Field worked as the associate director in the Division of Legislative and Governmental Affairs for the Massachusetts Nurses Association, a union representing healthcare workers. I think it is helpful in regards to knowing how the sausage is made, Field previously told the Gazette. If you work, however, many hours up in the State House doing the work that I'm doing, you have to register as a lobbyist. That's the law. Although Field was registered as a lobbyist, she said that being a lobbyist is part of what my job was, but only one portion of my job. In 2021, Field was honored for her work when she was chosen by State Rep Carol Doherty as that year's Commonwealth heroine from the 3rd Bristol District for the Massachusetts Commission on the Status of Women. Doherty, Field's predecessor in the legislature, said at the time of Field, she is singularly enthusiastic and energetic in everything she does on behalf of nurses, but especially because that work affects the lives and well-being of patients in our hospitals across the Commonwealth. Field previously told the Gazette that Doherty, who died in February 2025 of pancreatic cancer, had called her in January 2025 and asked her to consider running to fill her seat. Field said she decided to do it to continue her legacy. Before her 2025 election, Field was also involved in local activism. She was a member of Clean Air Taunton and opposed a gasification plant that was proposed but ultimately not constructed. What Field says about audit and retirement controversies. Field's first year in office was not without conflict. She previously gathered signatures for a ballot initiative that would give the auditor the power to audit the state legislature, which voters approved in 2024. But in 2026, state auditor Diane DeZoglio publicly criticized Field on Facebook after Field voted for legislation related to the audit. The legislation, among other provisions, restricts the auditor's ability to seek legal relief in the event documents are not provided. I collected signatures, Field said, of the 2024 audit initiative. I knew there might be some issues around separation of powers, but I thought that would be straightened out along the way. I guess I was naive. I didn't think it went far enough, she said of the audit legislation. We got it, the audit bill, the day before. And then we took it up the next day. I wanted to see that we had something rather than having nothing, that we had something and that we could get going on that something and then go back to fight for more, she said of her vote on the legislation. Field also was in conflict with Taunton Police Chief Ed Walsh over legislation that would have raised Walsh's retirement age from 65 to 70. Field declined to actively support the legislation, saying she was neutral. Ultimately, the Taunton City Council reversed course after initially voting in favor of the retirement age extension, and Walsh now has to retire in October when he turns 65. Walsh is now running for state rep in the Democratic primary against Field. Asked if she believed Walsh was running against her due to the failed retirement age extension, Field said, "That's what it seems to like to me." I think that he decided to run for office, and whatever the reasons are his reasons, she said. I'm running on the issues. I'm running on my record. Accomplishments as legislator, which she's learned. Field said she's proud of this year's state budget, which she said is a bipartisan, no new taxes, balanced budget. I'm also proud of the environmental bond bill, she said. I was able to get some earmarks there for Easton and Taunton projects. Field said the legislative process involves compromise. When you're working with 159 other people in order to get something across the finish line, there's compromises that happen along the way, she said. And she said that being able to work with legislative leadership can yield results, citing the amendment to a literacy bill that reflected concerns of the Taunton and Easton superintendents as an example. Ultimately, Field said that it's been an honor to represent the constituents of the 3rd Bristol, and I hope I'm able to continue to represent them. I love Easton and Taunton, she said. And next is Taunton Dinner Event Welcomes Residents by Beth McDermott. Taunton Area Community Table will welcome residents to a free community dinner August 27th at 378 Bay Street in Taunton. The gathering is open to everyone, according to a community announcement. Doors are scheduled to open at 4:30 p.m. with dinner served from 5 to 6. Organizers said the event is intended to bring neighbors together over a shared meal. Guests do not need to pay or reserve a spot in advance. Community members are invited to attend, enjoy dinner, and connect with others in the area, according to the announcement. Organizers said Tom and Jimmy's is sponsoring the August dinner. And next, Kennedy's name obscured at Performing Arts Center. This is by Bart Jansen. The court fight has rekindled over the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts after the board voted that President Donald Trump's name must go on, even if the show doesn't, for a few years of construction. U.S. District Judge Christopher Cooper had ordered Trump's name removed from the building's facade in May because Congress hadn't authorized it. Cooper also blocked the administration from closing the venue for 2 years of construction because the plans for the project were adopted too hastily. But the Kennedy name has remained obscured by scaffolding and tarps as the litigation grinds on. The board stacked with Trump allies voted August 13th to restore his name to the facade twice. So Rep. Joyce Beatty, D. Ohio, asked Cooper in an emergency request August 20th to block the latest renaming. It's deja vu all over again, said Beatty, who serves on the Kennedy Center board. Updates in the court battle offered some behind-the-scenes details about the renovation project for which Congress appropriated $257 million. The curtain could go up on another court hearing before September 8th, the deadline the board set for effectuating its decision to rename the building. The board decided to close the Kennedy Center during construction, which became a point of contention in the lawsuit. But Charles Matthew Flocka, the center's executive director and chief operating officer, said a consultant estimated that a partial closure would nearly double the cost and time frame for the project. Delta Consulting Group told the board at the August 13th meeting that if construction partially closed the venue, it would require 4 years of revolving closures on the main level of the building and cost an estimated $580 million. Closing the main building entirely for 2 years, which the board approved, would cost $285 million. The board also agreed to restore Trump's name to the facade. They voted to rename the building the John F. Kennedy Memorial Center for the Performing Arts, restored and renovated by President Donald J. Trump. If Trump's fundraising for the project reaches $100 million, the facade would read, the John F. Kennedy Memorial Center for the Performing Arts, restored and renovated by President Donald J. Trump, endowed by the Trump Kennedy Center Fund. The board also voted to name the grounds beneath the venue President Donald J. Trump Plaza. Beatty argued that the renaming violated the congressional statute that created the center in 1964 and Cooper's order. Scaffolding and a tarp continued to block the view of the Kennedy's name after Trump's name was removed on June 13th. Kennedy Center manager said scaffolding was required for water testing and structural repairs to the roof overhanging the front portico. The scaffolding also serves as a safety barrier for construction and to safeguard the marble facade of the building from reported damage. But Beatty argued that the underside of the roof eaves are 20 feet above the scaffolding and that scaffolding hasn't been erected around the rest of the marble building to protect it or examine other parts of the roof. Enough is enough, Beatty's filing said. Defendants' contemptuous behavior must stop. Next, spike in school supply costs hits parents. Brands cite higher prices from gas and import duties by Christopher Kahn. Brandy McGrath usually buys quality, long-lasting school supplies for her 9-year-old son and his teachers, but sharp increases in the cost of folders, pencils, and other products have forced her to cut back and search for cheaper alternatives. It's insane how expensive things have gotten, said McGrath, 48, of Salt Lake City. I'm looking for every sale I can. In Daytona Beach, Florida, Karen Kaiser was similarly struck by the cost of back-to-school shopping this year. It is crazy, she said, estimating that she and her husband spent over $100 on just notebooks and loose-leaf paper for their two daughters. That's not counting what we had to pay for back-to-school clothes, shoes, haircuts. The cost of a typical school supply list, including notebooks, paper, pencils, and glue sticks, is nearly $175, almost 8% higher than in 2025, according to an analysis by the Groundwork Collaborative and the Century Foundation, two progressive think tanks. Some essential items, such as lunchbox, notebooks, and tissues, cost 20% or more than they did a year ago, the analysis found, pointing in part to the effects of President Donald Trump's tariff agenda, which the Federal Reserve said raised the cost of many products manufactured overseas for American consumers. Over the same period, the cost of electronics, such as headphones, rose 6.6%, the report found. Meanwhile, typical lunch items cost 10.9% more than they did in 2025, the analysis said, citing price hikes on products including blueberries and deli meat. The rising prices come as Americans are already struggling with inflation and high gas prices stemming from the war with Iran, forcing many to take on debt and stretch their meals. A survey by Credit Karma found that 57% of parents are entering the back-to-school season with credit card debt, and nearly half plan to pursue new credit to help pay for back-to-school expenses. Major school supply brands have increased their prices in recent months, citing inflation, rising gas prices, and tariffs. Newell Brands, which owns well-known supply brands such as Sharpie, Expo, Papermate, and Elmer's Glue, increased prices to offset more than $170 million in tariff costs. ACCO Brands, which owns school notebook supplier Mead and Five Star, cited costs from tariffs and conflict in the Middle East as headwinds that will lead to higher prices for consumers. We do anticipate having to push through additional cost increases globally, said Thomas Tedford, president and CEO of ACCO Brands, in an earning call in July. The Trump administration has said the higher prices will be temporary. As traffic through the Strait of Hormuz normalizes, energy prices and thus overall inflation will come down and real wages will rise, White House spokesperson Kush Desai said in a statement. President Trump's economic agenda delivered historic working-class prosperity in his first term, and this same agenda is cleaning up Joe Biden's mess to deliver more job, wage, and investment growth. McGrath, who leads her local parent-teacher association, said she compared receipts from 2025 with what she spent this year and was flabbergasted by the difference. I was paying a dollar apiece for basic folders last year, and today they were $2.79, she said. About 62% of back-to-school shoppers said that they were likely to seek out sales this year, according to an annual Nerd Wallet report. A quarter of respondents said they plan to cut back on school-related spending, and 72% said items such as clothing, school supplies, and electronics feel noticeably more expensive this year than in 2025. Jenny Craig of Ormond Beach, Florida, said she spent hundreds of dollars more in school supplies for her three daughters this year than she did last year. To keep costs down, she tried to save where she could. I said no to the 150 folders that are nicer simply because they have a cute cat on it, she said. We got the plain 49-cent folders instead. Across the country, tens of thousands of parents are lining up for free backpacks, notebooks, and other supplies for their children. Many groups organizing these fundraisers say they've seen the need for donations rise sharply over the past several years. The Brevard Schools Foundation, which serves children and families in East Central Florida, went from giving free backpacks to about 3,100 students in 2023 to supplying them to nearly 5,000 children last year. And I do have to end this for time. This has been Lynn reading from the Taunton Daily Gazette. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day and a great week. Take care.